In the best-selling book, No BS Direct Marketing, legendary marketer Dan Kennedy said this, "My single biggest recommendation is the use of a monthly customer newsletter. Nothing, and I mean nothing, maintains your fence better." Dan is absolutely correct. The truth is, for just about any business owner, the greatest potential for new business and higher profits lies within its current customer base. Stronger customer relationships yield higher sales and more profits, and a monthly newsletter is the best relationship-building tool, bar none. Unfortunately, for many entrepreneurs, the struggle of producing a newsletter every month is too much, and it just doesn't get done. But no longer. Every month, No Hassle Newsletters members get 24 pages of Jim's famous customer-loving content and his amazing ready-to-go newsletter templates. Your company's No Hassle Newsletter will generate more repeat and referral business in less than 1 hour per month. Join the hundreds of entrepreneurs already using No Hassle Newsletters at www.nohasslenewsletters.com. That's www.nohasslenewsletters.com.
Hey friends, this is James Malinchak, featured on ABC's hit TV show Secret Millionaire and founder of BigMoneySpeaker.com, and you are listening to my good friend Jim Palmer on Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. And those are all great things in your business. I'm your host, Jim Palmer. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm really excited about this week's show because my special guest is the author of the new hit book, Shout in the Right Direction. Let me tell you about Nick Rosner. Nick is the owner of Tech Nick Creative. It is a web marketing company in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So I'm getting rain now. He's getting snow, I think, even as we record this. At night, Nick just dreams about social media, web design, blog strategy, and other ways to help small and medium companies grow using the power of the web. Nick is a speaker and instructor on social media strategy, teaching a course on the topic at Century College, Argosy University, and North Hennepin Community College. Hey, Nick, thanks for taking time to be my special guest today on Stick Like Glue Radio.
Thanks so much, Jim. Glad to be here.
Cool, man. So is it really snowing? I just assumed with Minneapolis because we're having such a horrible spring.
Oh, I know. And you know, part of me, I'm all about branding, so I hate the perception of the Twin Cities is that it's always this eternal icebox. But it kind of is true this time of year. It's really on that border between rain and snow, and even I'm getting sick of it.
You know, your new book is called Shout in the Right Direction, so it was a very cool title, by the way.
Thanks.
Where did you come up with that?
So it's a co-authored book between me and my co-author, Eric Lennon, and we wanted to make a book to help small businesses learn how to target their audience better on the web. And as we were starting to come up with, you know, solidifying our core principles for the book, it really narrowed down to these two sides of it. And part of it is shout, and that's the act of getting your message out there to the right air, getting your message out there and getting louder and getting on platforms that help amplify your message. But some people we found were shouting just fine, but shouting to the wrong people, and they were not reaching people who could actually buy. So that's where not only shouting, but shouting in the right direction came to be so important.
You know, a lot of people ask me about list building and, you know, getting more likes and fans and stuff like that. Some people, you know, I've written 5 books myself, and people ask me, well, you know, how do you become a bestseller? And I say, well, first of all, personally, I've never been worried about being a bestseller. I want to sell exactly as many books as I need to sell to the right people to build a nice business, which I've done.
Yeah.
When it comes to list building, I mean, would you rather have 20,000 people on your list or 5,000 that are rabid fans? I mean, it really is. I think that speaks to kind of what you just said there, right?
It is such a great way to look at that. And it's just one of the reasons why I wanted to write the book is because it was just amazing to me how much effort small business owners and entrepreneurs spent in selling to people who actually could not or would not buy from them.
It's powerful. You know, you write about having more focus and less noise is kind of a new way of thinking about marketing. Why do you think so many businesses fizzle on social media while others are, you know, consistently seem to pick up followers and make money at it?
One of the biggest reasons I see that people will kind of fizzle out is that they really don't understand who they're talking to. And that's one of the main theses of the book is, in order to shout in the right direction, in order to really get your messaging to be on point, you have to really in depth understand who is a part of your audience and who isn't. So anytime we have any questions about design or how many times should I post on something or what should my topics be of my podcast or my blog or my video blog, it always should come back to the business, the segments you're chosen, and what your audience wants to hear.
Yeah, what do you know, I want to get your opinion on this. I have no idea what you're going to say, but, you know, I really believe social media is simply another form of media. So, you know, when I see some people on social media that are so-called thought leaders or, you know, authors or whatever, and I see them post stuff, well, just yesterday as we're recording this was the whole deal with the, you know, the racist NBA, you know, team owner.
Yeah,
and before that, there's Obamacare, and then there's this, that, whatever the hot topic is, they're posting their opinion on it. And, you know, I teach a seminar called Dream Business Academy. What I told people there is, you know, you only want to be sharing things that are going to help to really amplify your position and who you are. In other words, what do you want people to know about you? It's a very long question, Nick. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But what I think social media has become for a lot of people, especially Facebook, it's their platform or sounding board. It's the place where I'm going to go vent. You know, I say, listen, you're probably going to get some people to agree with you, like it or whatever, but that's because people follow you are probably of a like mindset, but not all the people that you're meant to do business with have the same mindset. And that's why, you know, it's almost that old that thing, if you're a taxi driver, you don't talk about sex, politics, or church or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
That is a great question. One of my thoughts on digital marketing is that it all boils down to two things. It boils down to getting eyeballs on you somehow and rewarding the eyeballs with something creative that they were expecting to get from you. So if you really take it in that vein, people will sometimes think that they have this captive audience that they've slaved over and built and crafted over all this time. But we've always got to remember that they have something in common, and they're all, for example, for you, people wanted to learn about newsletters and growing a business. And if all of a sudden you really started to get off track with that, your community would might feel a little bit betrayed. It might work out really well. You never know. But you always want to keep in mind that the people that are in your audience have something in common, or they wouldn't be in there. So they want to be getting things that are inside that focus. I mean, me personally, I'm really into politics locally in Minnesota. I'm really I have very strong beliefs about some causes that I'm an advocate of. But at the same time, those can be so divisive in the business community, especially when my market is other entrepreneurs who are also usually very opinionated one way or another. So even no matter how far I'm caring about a cause, I often will keep it out of my business communications.
Absolutely. I learned a lesson, and it's actually not about social media, but we have my wife and I have these two couples that we've been friends with for like 30 years. We long ago bought a townhouse in the same community when we were just starting out, and we've kind of drifted apart. We see each other about 3 times a year, and we've never really strayed into that kind of a conversation, although I think we're of a like mind. Well, at the last presidential election, they shared a view which was contrary to mine. And I'm like, what the heck? How are you? It was like a Super Bowl party, so we were probably drinking a few beers. And it quickly got into heated. I don't know. People can't seem to have a civil conversation anymore, myself included, with some hot topics. But I quickly realized, that, you know what? Let's just stop this. I don't want this to come between our friendship. We're totally cool. You know what I mean? But I think social media is like that also. It's really a relationship-building tool. And when you when you say things which can be divisive, even if they're your own views, that's not going to be a thing that's going to help you build your business.
And as a principle in general, I've often found that the people who are best on social media are the most powerful influencers in person and in-person networking situations anyway, either from the stage or when they're talking with you at a networking event. So the same principles apply into real life as most social media questions do, where if you can have a civil and inclusive discussion about a political issue that might affect you, then maybe. But if it can very easily be taken as something that's divisive, especially if it's just in text and they can't see your nonverbals, it can very quickly go awry and you can lose some people. It's a great observation.
Hey, Nick, what do you think the biggest challenge is that you see, probably doing research for your book and just being out there, that what do you see the biggest challenges that faces small business owners today from a marketing perspective?
The number one challenge, and this is why I've chosen to set up the way I consult and the book and everything, is around choosing your segments in a way that creates clarity for what you should do in your business. And the two things that follow from that are people will often, like I said, not even realize that they're implementing strategies that market to people who can't buy. But on the other end, they either have too many or too few segments, where on one hand, they have too few segments and they just might lump everybody together into one big blob and they won't be able to make a message for them that resonates with anyone. But on the other end of the spectrum, sometimes people will have too many segments, and this is actually more common as an entrepreneur, because we say, ooh, my product can be great for this market and this market and this market and this market and this market. What they don't realize is that every time they add a new segment, they're multiplying their marketing plan by that number of times. So if they have three different products they promote and they want to add another segment, they have to create another three business plans, another three marketing plans to make it happen.
Wow, that's pretty cool. You know, one of the topics you discuss in the book is how to do research. And I think people often skip this step when it comes to making a marketing plan. And I would actually, let me amend my question, not just a marketing plan. People fail to do research when they create a product or a program. They just get it in their head that this is really needed and necessary, and they go headlong into it. So, you know, what advice do you have for small business owners on the topic of research?
It's amazing to me how many really bright business owners will launch a product without talking to even 10 people who would buy it. And when I think about research, I like to think about it in terms of the whole strategic planning cycle. And this is not something I've made up. It's a fairly well-known model for strategic planning. And the cycle goes audit, plan, implement, measure, and replete. So if you follow this cycle, it seems like a pretty nice way to understand your strategy and make a way for it to iterate and improve. But the first step there is audit. And right away when we say audit, people normally think of taxes, and it's a bad thing, and that's not necessarily what we're talking about. We're talking about finding any information at all from any source that would help you make a better plan. And often when people think of marketing research, they say, well, I don't want to spend $10,000 and hire someone in a research firm with a white lab coat to do XYZ for me. But even with zero budget, you can go look at your competitors. You can read blogs on the subject. You can do some searches on Twitter and see what people are tweeting about your topic. You can see how well your competitors are promoting. You can see what their websites look like. And if you really want to take it to the next level, just do something as simple as talking to 10 people who would buy the product and have a one-on-one interview. just doing something like that, that's a small project, has a finite end to it, can do wonders for how well your plan succeeds when you put it into action.
You know, another thing you can do, and that's all great advice, and another thing you can do if you already have a list, even a small list, is survey your own customers. Yeah, I'm a big – I do that maybe a couple times a year where I'll either survey existing clients or after my recent event, I surveyed the people that were there, and they gave me like two or three things which they wanted me to cover, and I'm going to add those into the next one. You know, people will tell you what you want to know if you simply ask them. But by the way, you know, this is not rocket science. When I was planning my first live event, I sent a survey out to my list, and I got back almost 150 replies saying we'd like to learn this. So guess what I taught at that first one, you know? And of course, I market it that way too. So that's a good thing about research. You know, you just got to ask, dig a little bit.
Yes, and you know, part of me, the brilliance of what I like about this strategic planning cycle is that it's audit, plan, implement, measure, repeat. And the repeat sounds like it's obvious, but what it really means is that use what you learned from actually really selling what you last sold in order to get research insights for your next reiteration. Because as much as I love marketing research, I love it, love it, love it, it is all guesses and fantasy until there's actually a product that someone can buy.
And literally, until you have you know, sales, you don't have a business, right? So
that's right.
Might as well get off the ground. You know, Nick, there are so many different social media sites out there. How do you choose which ones? How many should you be on? I mean, is it all a time factor? Or?
You know, that is the number one question people ask about social media is how do I choose? One of my answer always is it comes back to the business goals and the segments. Who is it you're trying to reach? Are they there? Do they want to hear from you in that way? And if that's the answer, then that's the answer. Now, there are some ways you can figure it out. You can ask people. You can survey people, like you mentioned. Another way that I have a story of a client who runs a salon here in Minnesota. And before we had gotten together, she had a pretty sizable salon. She had maybe 13 chairs, and they were full all the time with stylists. And she was the owner, and she actually was personally running her social media. And she was doing Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, a blog, Pinterest, Instagram, and an email newsletter. And admittedly so, she was kind of going crazy figuring out which ones to do. So we just did a simple plan that said you can start out. I mean, she had set up shop in all these places, but we just took a look and see where she was getting some traffic, see where she was getting some momentum building up. And one of the things that often will happen is that if you don't look at the data, you'll probably make the wrong choice about which one to cut. And if I would have just guessed, I would have thought Twitter would be awesome and Facebook would be awesome. As it turned out, Twitter and Facebook were not as great for her as compared to Instagram was really great, Pinterest was really great. No one was going to the blog, and I loved blogging, but just for some reason, the blog was not getting any traffic, and the newsletter was not performing as well as we wanted. And we, for her, decided to cut the Facebook, Twitter, and the newsletter and the blog and focus on Instagram and Pinterest, and her audience just loved it. Now, that is a pretty unorthodox strategy, not one I would usually recommend for people, but it underscores the point of if the data shows it, sometimes you just got to go where it points.
You know, I started out in I'm pretty big in Facebook. That's probably the number one platform. But I also do Google Plus and LinkedIn, you know, but I also did a little bit of Twitter. And what I figured out is, and, you know, I just have a hard time cutting down my messages, my success tips and things like that to 140 characters. The other thing I figured out about Twitter, and, I mean, I really tried, but it's got to be so hard. And the other thing I figured out is you can't go on Twitter, in my opinion, you can't go on Twitter once or twice or three times. It's more of a constant dialogue back and forth.
Yeah.
People that are replying and reposting, and I just don't do that. So I kind of just put Twitter on the back burner for myself.
Mm. It's interesting you mentioned that as Twitter. One of my thoughts, my views on Twitter is that even more important than just blasting out stuff on Twitter is the power of the one-to-one message. I can't tell you how many times I've been struggling, trying to get into a company. I'm trying to pitch for a website design or something, and I just find them on Twitter and reach out to them, and they respond nearly instantly.
It's a great place. Excuse me for interrupting, Nick. That is a phenomenal place to make connections with the person.
Yeah, because CEOs have Twitter accounts of their own that they sometimes manage themselves. So you never know how that can work. I always like to think that there's probably a list. I follow maybe about 2,000 people, and maybe about a similar amount follow me on Twitter. And there's probably about 100 or 150 that I remember I've memorized their username. I know that they're active on Twitter, and if I tweeted them, they would tweet back. And those are the ones that are in my core referral network. Those are the ones who I would recognize in person really well if they met me. So I always like to think, imagine being on the other end of that, and imagine trying to get over that initial Twitter politeness and get on their list of someone whose usernames they remember. They remember your username, and then they're more likely to actually care about you.
Good one. What do you think about how does somebody put a plan into action? Because I like to give people actionable stuff. So when it comes to putting together a good, overall social media marketing plan into action, first of all, it seems like there's a million things that you can do in that area, not to mention the 12 or 14 hats we all seem to wear every day as entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. How do you, Nick, keep everything organized and aligned with your business goals?
One of the biggest, the most popular answer to that question in the social media world is the editorial calendar. And I'm sure that you've probably heard this term from the many social media guests you've had on the show. It's an invaluable tool, the editorial calendar, that plans out when everything's going out and who's posting what and making sure that you're staying consistent. That's all fantastic. But one of the things that I want to take it a step further is adding on top of that a campaign calendar. And campaign calendar is different from an editorial calendar in that it focuses on business results. It focuses on what are you trying to sell to whom at what point in time. Some people will do campaigns that last a month. Some people will do campaigns that last a quarter. That's usually the most common too. But whatever it is, it's always taking a specific, using the SMART framework, a specific business goal matched to an action plan to make it happen. So I might say during the month of January, I want to make sure I'm promoting website design to professional speakers. Then I might want to, in the month of February, decide that I want to sell, $20,000 of coaching and consulting to coaching businesses and professional services companies. So something like that, where you're making that business goal very specific and focusing on one chunk of your business, while then matching that to an action plan where you're figuring out, I'm going to put out Facebook posts on it, going to include a promotion in my email about it, going to make sure to have so many conversations with prospects about it, and the list goes on. Making that campaign plan not only takes the editorial calendar idea to the next level.
That makes good sense. Also sounds, I'm sure, if people drive in their car, sounds like a lot of work. But you know what? What I tell people is it is hard work. Otherwise, everybody be doing it, right?
That's right. And this is also why people will be faithfully putting out stuff on their social media and content, but not having it show up as a meaningful impact on their financial statements. My biggest thought about social media is that the number one most important social media metric is your profit and loss statement.
Which brings me to my last question I have for you. Speaking of P&L, I think a lot of people, and it's not a bad question to ask unless you fully understand how social media works, but a lot of people, especially the green eye shade accountant types, they want to know, well, how do you measure ROI? You know, if somebody's going to go be spending time on social media, somebody's going to be doing this, that, and the other thing, how do we even know if it's producing a result? I've got my own opinions, but since you're the guest today, I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I've grown to have a bit of internal conflict on this topic. I mean, I teach a college course on social media strategy, and of course, you wouldn't get certified in social media strategy if you didn't know how to justify your ROI. But even now, I'm finding that the direct quantification of ROI is not the whole picture. Because I'm of this thought that social media is better at brand awareness than it is direct conversions. And that might be a bit of an inflammatory statement for people, but it does more things than just sell directly, and sometimes those are missed by ROI calculations. Now, that being said, I like to balance that by viewing digital marketing as just a piece of your whole marketing mix. And as long as you have that core business strategy where you're saying, I know who I'm selling to exactly, and I know what I'm selling, and I've got my goal and strategic plan documented. As long as social media fits into that, and you can show some measurable results that come from it, I'm a big fan.
Yeah. You know, I teach an awful lot about retention. I mean, newsletters is what I'm best known for, but newsletters are a tool to help get more client retention. And
yeah.
But really, the 10,000-foot view, Nick, is it's all about stronger relationships, you know, because what most people want, most business owners, they don't want to do a newsletter, neither do I. But what I do want is I want client retention, because retention means when customers stay longer, I believe they spend more and they refer more. So if that's your goal, higher profits through retention, that comes as a result of stronger relationships. And social media, newsletters, all these different things, I believe, are a way to build, develop, nurture, grow stronger relationships with customers and prospects.
That's fantastic. And on top of that, customer service is another part of that same vein. Now more and more people are tweeting customer service questions and expecting a response there.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially airlines and stuff. People go, holy hell, they just canceled my flight. You know, now it's all over the – not that that doesn't happen, but, again, I think people feel compelled to go to social media and just vent every little thing that's going on in their,
exactly,
in their
world. Exactly.
Well, Nick, this show flew by as I knew it would. It's a lot of fun talking with you. Your book is called Shout in the Right Direction. How can people get your book, and what's a good website for people to connect with you?
The book comes out on May 13th. The book will be available on Amazon and Kindle, and you can find it on there. You can find it at shoutintherightdirection.com. And as always, both me and my co-author, Eric, will be on Twitter. And if you have any questions for us after the show, just tweet at us with the hashtag ShoutBook, and we will open up the conversation over there.
Awesome. Thanks so much for being my guest, Nick. I highly appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special edition of Stick Like Glue Radio with Nick Rosner, the author of the book. Actually, now I know the co-author of the book, Shout in the Right Direction. Stick Like Glue is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio this exact time next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Hey, now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.